Hello, and welcome to Data for All, a quest for digital autonomy, a podcast in which we bring you closer to the topic of municipal data sovereignty. This season of the podcast revolves around sustainable data solutions for citizens and companies. Looking at situations across Europe, we present facts, approaches, and reflections on how we can better understand and use data for the public good.
For Digital Autonomy, a podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Schleswig-Holstein.
Hey, Eva, and hey, Eva. First of all, welcome to the Data for All podcast. I am very delighted to welcome you here today. Welcome and greetings to Sweden.
Thank you very much, Max. Well, it's such a delight to be here.
So today we're talking about open data, transparency, and how it is related to trust and democracy. Actually, a very broad field. But first of all, what exactly is open data?
As an archivist, I think I speak for most of the archival proficiency when I say that we don't quite understand what's the big fuss about open data. Because in Sweden, at least, we've been open for years.
Perhaps I can enrich this definition. Because I think open data is information that anyone can access, use, and share without restrictions. And that implies that it has to be in a certain format and accessible in a certain way. That is perhaps the difference to make it more easily accessible and to explain the data as well, so everyone knows what data it is, and to make it accessible in a format that is convenient to use for citizens or for companies or for authorities.
Something you hear again and again, and something we also hear again and again in the podcast, is that data is the new gold. When it comes to open data, we are talking about data that is accessible to everyone. You already explained it. How are open data, transparency, and democracy connected? And of course, you can also use an example from your everyday work.
Well, transparency is only possible if there is trust. Because how far are you willing to be transparent? Well, it depends on how much you trust the people that will be able to access the information. The mutual trust between the public sector and the general public, how big is that trust? In Sweden, it's very big. Trust is at the bottom line. But you can't have transparency if you don't have trust. And where there's trust, there can be democracy.
I agree with this. And I think the connection is that open data increases transparency in the public institution. And transparency builds trust. So if there is less trust, it sort of creates a space for more authoritarian tendencies as well, as at the seen in several countries, perhaps across the Atlantic as well. So that's why I think openness isn't just a technical issue. It's a fundamental part of our democracy.
Yeah. I mean, that makes totally sense that due to the transparency, you come to a democracy. And we will later talk about the other side of the Atlantic, as you already mentioned. But let's get a little bit more concrete about this open data. So in Sweden, you have a slightly different system than we are using here in Germany. For example, when it comes to data management or data access. In Sweden, anyone can look up, for example, some public invoices in the internet, the so-called public principle, as you've already mentioned, has a very long tradition in Sweden. In concrete terms, this means that the state, for example, hires a construction company and the costs that the state is using are publicly available. So what effect does this transparency for the costs have on the population?
Well, we are so used to transparency that if someone is not transparent, or have done something to try and avoid transparency, there's usually an outrage. We simply don't accept that you're trying to cheat the system.
Yes, exactly. And this is one part where the open data will make it even more transparent, because as you mentioned today, yes, every citizen has the right to look at all the invoices, for example. So some municipalities has already made, for example, list of invoices accessible through open data at our national portal for open data in Sweden. But it will be a little bit work for the municipality, and it will take a few days perhaps. But we will make it accessible as open data. There you can make it available in a machine-readable format. And then we can more easily analyze the data to find if there are things that shouldn't be there. There are costs or invoices that shouldn't be there. Or also to find perhaps costs that is too high, or something that you can make more effective as well.
Yeah, I mean, by this, you're also creating, I mean, trust for democracy in a way. Is there a national law to do this?
Yes. It's called the Principle of Public Access to Information. You find that in the Freedom of Press Act. So it's definitely, we need to be open by law, and people expect it.
We'll get back to the interview shortly, but first, a quick interruption for this week's InfoBox. The principle of public access to information in Sweden stands as one of the oldest and most robust examples of government transparency in the history of the world. In Sweden, the principle was first established through the Freedom of Press Act, or in Swedish, Tryckfrihetsförordningen, of 1766. It's widely acknowledged as the world's first freedom of information legislation. The legislation effectively ended the state's monopoly on information by declaring that government documents should be accessible to all citizens who requested them. Throughout Swedish history, this principle has faced periods of restriction, but it was reinstated and strengthened in the Constitution of 1809. The modern version of the Freedom of Press Act, now one of Sweden's four fundamental constitutional laws, was established in 1949. The law grants every Swedish citizen the right to examine official records and documents, with limited exceptions for matters concerning national security, personal privacy, international relations, and certain business information. This long-standing commitment to transparency has profoundly influenced Swedish governance and civic culture, creating a society where government accountability is a key part of the national identity. Moreover, Sweden's pioneering approach has inspired similar freedom of information legislation across the globe, cementing its legacy as a foundational contribution to democratic governance and transparency worldwide. And with that, let's get back to the conversation.
What is regulated by law is that people are guaranteed to have access, but it's not yet a law that it should be accessible by open data. And this, I think, builds trust as well in local government as well as the state authorities.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that it probably will be a law. But instead, and a lot of times we work on, in a way, to be voluntary, to do it. It's sort of a recommendation. And a recommendation in Sweden usually means that everybody does it.
That presenting invoices in that way, that's just a way of presenting a specific piece of information in a more accessible way.
Yes.
But there's still the principle of public access to information. This is just one way of making it easier, because expediting public records on the quest, it's a prioritized task. And it also says so in the law. It specifically says that a request should be dealt with within 2 working days, unless there are special circumstances that mean that it can't be expedited because of it may contain secret information. And if we don't submit the information quick enough, the municipality can be charged and end up in court. Is that serious?
Yeah, I mean, if we talk now about the data, I'm pretty interested in what data we're talking about. I mean, for example, if you have those public invoices for construction, it's probably not that sensible. So what about more sensitive data, such as maybe salaries or health data? Is this also publicly accessible, or rather, where's the limit? Which data is accessible and which is not accessible?
The public access to information and security is a law, and it's an extensive law with a lot of paragraphs. And this law specifically says what information is secret. And if you can't find a paragraph in here that will support whatever it is you want to keep secret, it's not secret. So you can't just say that I will not give you this information because I personally believe that we shouldn't get it, or my religion says that we won't get it, or simply I don't feel comfortable giving you this information. We can't do that. We have to treat everybody the same way, and we need to follow the law that specifically says what is secret and what is not. So it's a way of treating people the same way. You should not get information simply because I know you or because you pay me money.
Yes, and we also have another national project that is similar to this. It's to make data about public procurement accessible as well. The aim is to increase competition and also reduce corruption and to build the public trust. And actually, Sweden has a very low levels of corruption compared to many other countries. So we think that open data is a key tool here to prevent corruption, to fight against.
Can you maybe give like one or two examples of data which is not publicly accessible, which is secret?
You mentioned salaries and information about health. And information about health, so that's secret. But salaries, if you work in the public sector, your salary is not a secret. Anybody can ask how much money I earn. And I am entitled to ask anyone who works in public, what do you earn? We don't do that, but we could. So, and that's also a way of preventing corruption, that everything is open. If we apply for a job, that information, the application, is not secret. Anybody can ask to see applications, and they do, to see what knowledge does this person that got the job have. And that's a way of preventing corruption as well, that we should employ people that are competent for the job, not because they are related to someone.
I mean, that makes total sense, because I know that some friends get jobs because they know some persons, and I mean, your system is actually preventing that because you want to employ people because of their knowledge, because of their skills, which makes absolutely sense. So let's look into Kungsbacka. I have done some research and I have looked it up, and maybe my next vacation is going there. So we have around 85,000 people there. And I actually took a look at the website and I was astonished to realize that you can do almost everything online, whether it's applying for building permits or permits for a food truck or marriage or something else. So what feedback do you get from the residents? How does it make their lives easier to do everything online when it comes to data?
You get a lot of feedback that citizens would like everything to be accessible in a digital way, but also to make more time to have the human contact, for example, when working with the elderly or with children, to make the services more accessible and convenient. But it's also a way to be more efficient, so we get more time to have the human contact.
Yes, and the public demands it. We are digital because Sweden in general is very digital, and people expect to be able to do almost anything digitally. That creates a problem for people who are less digital. So we need to have a backup where we can use Caper if necessary. But as a rule, we try to do as much as possible digitally.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I'm actually sometimes wishing for something here in Germany to be digital, but apparently it's not there yet. But I think we can learn something from that. So how did you guys create that mentality in Sweden to use open data? Because, I mean, you already described it. Everybody needs to use the open data and also to publish the data. How do you create that mentality that everybody's okay with it, that everybody's doing it?
We've just been transparent for so long that I'm not sure everybody understands what open data is about. I think it's just a fancy word about the principle of public access to information.
And I think it might be that it's something that everyone is used to, like you mentioned. And it's to work with open data when it's more accessible in a digital way. That, I think, we are in the beginning of this cultural journey. And I think it's partly because we are so used to all the information being accessible. But now we have to take the extra step of making it accessible as open data, make it easier accessible. And also, I think in Kunstbacka, especially, we work a lot with AI, and data is also the key to use AI. So I think one part of our journey is to work with AI to make it more obvious that we have to work with data
and data quality.
Yes, exactly, as data quality. And actually, Kunskvaka is the municipality in Sweden today with the most AI projects running. And none of that would be possible without structured and reliable data. So I think this helps us to put the light on the work with open data work.
And we like to think that we are in the forefront as well, because Kunskvaka is a profitable municipality, which means that we have the people, the knowledge, and the money to be able to do this. So if we succeed, and we don't know that yet, but if we succeed, other municipalities in Sweden can take advantage of what we have done. So we're not just doing it for our own sake, but for many small municipalities in Sweden that don't have the people to do what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I just love, Eva, that you mentioned it's a journey and we're on the way. And I think that's actually the right mindset, because it probably will never be finished in a way, because there will always be something that comes up. It's a journey and it's a progress. So speaking about the progress and also the democracy, let's take a look into the other side of the Atlantic. You already mentioned it in the beginning. The understanding today of democracy is sometimes, let's say, very different and very difficult. I remember the speech by the American Vice President, Jay Vance, at the security conference in Munich, where he said that our democracy in Europe is in danger due to restricted expression of opinion. And on the other side, tech billionaires like Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg have tons of personal data via their platforms like X or Meta. And yet, huge platforms like X and Meta influence the public opinion through the use of our data or personal data, which is, unlike in Sweden, not open data. So if we compare those, let's say, two systems, the use of personal data and the open data as you have in Sweden, if you take a look from the democratic point of view, why is your approach better and why does it make more sense to use the open data approach?
Well, open data is a project that runs all over Europe, not just one country. Sweden is just one country which is more transparent than most other countries in the world. Open data is just part of our transparency. So it's not a big deal for us, but it may be a big deal for other countries.
And also, the difference, I think, is that open data is never personal data. all public data is accessible, but never personal data, because it's still as important to protect the personal integrity. So in X, as you mentioned, in the United States and Meta, they use personal data. Their whole business model is built on using personal data to make people buy things or use platforms or spend money in some fashion. And their authorities' information is not accessible. And it's the authorities' information, the public information, that gives citizens a possibility to see what is true and what is made up or what is false. So that's why they're very annoyed, I think, at their European principles for open data and also the GDPR. They are very annoyed by the GDPR because they know that it's a good thing that protects people in Europe, but they will make less money on the personal data. That's why transparency and collaboration across Europe are more important than ever, yeah. I think.
Yeah, totally. And maybe just because you said that cooperation between the European countries is more important than ever, let's take a small look into the future. I mean, we've already discussed that it is important to share this data between the European states and not only between local authorities, but maybe also worldwide in a way. After all, open data means open, so other countries should also somehow be able to access it in order to, yeah, maybe copy best practices, like in Sweden, like in Kungsbacka, to their own countries. But how does this already work? I mean, how open is this data?
Well, good question. Actually, we booked all our open data in one national portal that is called datapetalan.se. And that data portal makes it accessible for the whole world. But it's also important that we have a possibility for people to understand what data it is. And therefore, we have it in Swedish and in English, the descriptions of the data. It's also important that we have the same format on the data to make it accessible for other Europeans and globally as well. And also, if there is European countries that has published data, we try to use that format to begin with and then build on this format. And we also publish the data in the EU portal for datasets, for open data.
I would like to add, in a broader sense, worldwide, not many countries are particularly transparent about what they do in the public sector. And what I sometimes personally wonder is, what are you trying to hide? Why is it so important to be secret about information? I can only assume that it's about corruption, that corruption is the rule in the world today. There is an organization, Transparency International, that investigates corruption throughout the world every year, and Sweden is always in the top five. And I think in Sweden, we tend to forget that we think that we are like people in general, but we're not. Corruption is the rule in most countries in the world.
I mean, that's just perfect examples how different the world still is in terms of data usage. And I have learned a lot of things about open data, transparency, trust, and democracy. And it's so interesting. But we have already been talking for so, so long, and I think we could talk for much more hours. But thank you guys very, very much for being here and enlightening us about open data and the use of open data.
Well, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to speak about this. Yes, very interesting talk with you.
And that was all for this episode. If you'd like to hear more, subscribe to Data for All, A Quest for Digital Autonomy in the podcast app of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SoundCloud. And for any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at dataforall@boell-sh.de. The link is in the show notes.
Data for All. A quest for digital autonomy. A podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Schleswig-Holstein.